Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to give you a little introduction to Calvinism. Calvinism is a doctrine held to by Reformed churches, Presbyterians, Reformed Baptists, Sovereign Grace Baptists, and Primitive Baptists. Calvinism is the doctrine that states that the salvation of every man and woman is decided by God before those men and women are ever born. The Calvinists believe that specific men and women have been predestined to go to heaven before they are even born. The Calvinists also believe that specific men and women have been predestined to hell before they are even born. They even believe that babies and children have been predestined to heaven or hell before they're even born. They have no choice in the matter for the lost sinner. Those predestined to go to hell will go to hell. Those predestined to go to heaven will go to heaven. According to them, you have no choice. We're here to tell you that Calvinism is a doctrine of devils and a philosophy of man based in Roman Catholic and Gnostic heresy. Many Baptist pastors will tell you that they are 2, 3, or 4-point Calvinists without truly understanding what each of the 5 points means. Much of the doctrine of Calvinism really sounds good on the surface, until it is examined under the light of the Bible. We reject all 5 points of Calvinism. We also reject any doctrine that says that you can lose your salvation. The reason that we make both those statements together is that most Calvinists will tell you that you are either a Calvinist or an Arminian. We are neither Calvinistic nor Arminian. We are biblical. The Arminians are a group of people that believe you can lose your salvation. We reject both viewpoints as being unscriptural. We believe that salvation is available to all and is a whosoever will salvation that cannot be lost. To support this false doctrine, the Calvinist has to throw out every all and every whosoever will in the Bible that relates to salvation. In every point of Calvinism, they take good, sound Bible doctrine and then start pulling rotten fruit from the tree of knowledge to add to the Word of God. When they do not add to the Word of God, they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. They read election and predestination into practically every scripture that deals with salvation. The 5-point Calvinistic doctrine of salvation is referred to by the acronym TULIP, spelled T-U-L-I-P. The word TULIP is the acronym for total depravity of man. That's what the T represents. The U represents unconditional election. The L represents limited atonement. The I represents irresistible grace. And the P represents perseverance of the saints. The 5 tenets of Calvinism can be briefly described as follows. Total depravity states that the lost person has absolutely no free will and is absolutely incapable of responding to God. In other words, the sinner cannot repent unless God overpowers him. The doctrine of unconditional election states that a lost sinner is chosen to be saved regardless of whether they want to. The doctrine of limited atonement states that Christ died only for the elect and not for all men. The famous Baptist Charles Spurgeon stated that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for those folks that are in hell. That is not scriptural, folks. Now, irresistible grace states that the elect, or in other words, those predestined to be saved by their doctrine, will not be able to resist the saving grace of God. They will be saved in spite of themselves or in spite of their own will. The doctrine of perseverance of the saints states that the elect will, by nature of their salvation, persevere to the end, and that the identifying mark of one who has been predestined to be saved is his perseverance in the things of God. Folks, that is works-based salvation. Dave Hunt, on pages 108 and 109 of his book called What Love Is This, describes the tulip briefly this way. Now, I recommend Brother Dave Hunt's book, What Love Is This, outstanding book on Calvinism, and also Brother Lawrence Vance's book called The Other Side of Calvinism, two outstanding books on Calvinism. But here's what Dave Hunt had to say about the tulip. And I quote, the T stands for total depravity, that man, because he is spiritually dead to God in trespasses and in sin, is incapable of responding to the gospel, though able to make other moral choices. The Westminster Confession of Faith declares this: our faith, our first parents became dead in sin and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of the soul and body, wholly inclined to all evil. Man, by his fall into a state of sin, hath wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation, being altogether averse from that good and dead to sin, and is not able by his own strength to convert himself or prepare himself thereunto. U stands for unconditional election, that God decides on no basis whatsoever but by the mystery of his will to save some, call the elect, and to allow all others to go to hell, even though he could save all of mankind if he so desired. The canons of Dort declare that some receive the gift of faith from God and others do not receive it, proceeds from God's eternal decree, by which decree he graciously softens the hearts of the elect, however obstinate, and inclines them to believe, while he leaves the non-elect in his judgment to their own wickedness and obduracy. The L in the tulip stands for limited atonement, that the elect are the only ones for whom Christ died in payment of the penalty for their sins, and that his death is efficacious for no others, nor was intended to be. Dort declares, for this was the sovereign counsel and the most gracious will and purpose of God the Father, that the most precious death of his Son should extend to all the elect, all those and those only, who were from eternity chosen to salvation, he purchased by death. The I stands for irresistible grace, that God is able to cause whomever he will to respond to the gospel, that without this enabling, no one could do so, and that he only provides this irresistible grace to the elect and damns the rest. The Westminster Confession states, all those whom God hath predestined unto life, and those only, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death, effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ, yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. Now the P stands for perseverance of the saints, that God will not allow any of the elect to fail to persevere in living life consistent with salvation that he has sovereignly given them. The Westminster Confession states this: they whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of salvation. That is a very well summed up statement of what Calvinism believes about salvation. Moving on, if you are a pastor, preacher, or evangelist who is teetering on the destructive Calvinist cliff, we would encourage you to put down every book that you have ever read by a Calvinist, and before you proceed any further, search the scriptures for understanding. If you state that you are a 2, 3, or 4-point Calvinist, do you really understand what you are saying, or are you taking the word of another man? How would you answer the following questions in the light of the fact that God is love and is the author and finisher of justice? He is the righteous judge, folks. Question number one, do you really believe that you are unable to be saved without being regenerated first? In other words, that you cannot respond to the gospel without being overpowered by God. What if God chose not to overpower you? Would that make God a respecter of persons? Would that mean that God does not love you? Now, back several years ago, I went through the scriptures and I prepared a 17-page article called God's Will and Man's Will. And I went all the way through the scriptures, and you read that, read and study that document that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that man does have a free will. Next set of questions for you. Do you believe that God has predestined you to heaven or hell without your having a choice? And how can you be sure? Do you believe that God has predestined your baby boy or your baby girl to hell? What about your mother or your father? Would you call your mother a loving mother if she brought you brought forth an infant who she planned to throw into the lake of fire? Yet that is what the Calvinist accuses God of doing. Group of questions, numbers three. Do you believe in the doctrine of limited atonement, that Christ did not die for everyone? Do you really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for your brother, your sister, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your father, or your mother? If he did not die for your mother or your father, then who did he die for? Questions number four. Do you really believe that men and women cannot resist the grace of God in turning them to salvation? Have you ever known anyone to resist the grace of God in salvation? Did you resist the grace of God for a long time before you were saved? I can say without a doubt that I did resist the grace of God. And folks, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Question in group number five, do you really believe that men and women must persevere unto the end to be saved? Does that mean that they are working for their salvation? And let me tell you this, if you'll study it out, what the Calvinists themselves actually teach, it is a works-based salvation. Now, continuing on, in our study and research over the last several years, we have noticed that Calvinism is running rampant in independent Baptist churches as well as other churches. We really believe that if saved, Bible-believing preachers would research what Calvinists actually believe and then compare it to the scriptures, they would come away in shock. The list of five questions that I just covered above defines a lot of what the Calvinists believe about salvation. To get a deeper understanding of what Calvinists believe, we recommend the books What Love Is This by Dave Hunt and the Other Side of Calvinism by Lawrence M. Vance. Dave Hunt has ties to the Plymouth Brethren, and Lawrence Vance is an independent Baptist. Those two books are probably the best two books that have ever been written in defense of the faith against Calvinism. The words that the Calvinist likes to play with from his Pandora's toy box of salvation are elect, elected, election, choose, chose, chosen, foreknow, foreknowledge, foreordained, ordained, predestinate, and predestinated. The Calvinist does not even like talking about free will. Want to get one of them nervous? Start talking about free will. To the Calvinist, an act of free will is a violation of the sovereignty of God. To the Calvinist, the sovereignty of God is his preeminent attribute. To them, it supersedes every other attribute of God, including the love of God. We have looked at every scripture that we could think of dealing with the doctrine of salvation. We say again that we reject all 5 points of Calvinism. We will agree that the depravity of man is a scriptural doctrine. We object to the addition of the word total, particularly as it is defined and described by the Calvinists themselves. When the Calvinists add their words to the Word of God, then it becomes heresy. This doctrine states that man is either not capable or not able to respond to the gospel without having to been regenerated first. And we're talking here about the doctrine of total depravity. They also state that man is incapable of exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without having been regenerated by the Spirit of God. One Calvinist stated that we are born again so that we may believe in Jesus. Both of those ideas are heresy, folks. Both ideas are a direct contradiction of the Scriptures. In the Bible, faith or belief always, let me emphasize that again, they always, faith or belief always comes before regeneration by God the Holy Ghost. The Bible sets faith as the condition for regeneration. Also, contrary to what the Calvinists teach, faith by scriptural definition is not a work. The Bible nowhere says that faith is the gift of God. However, the Bible does say that salvation through faith is a gift of God in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I have a document where I have dealt with that whole concept in Ephesians 2:8, where a lot of folks maintain that that salvation, that the faith that in salvation is a gift of God, and the Bible does not teach that. And here's what Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, folks, through faith is a prepositional phrase that modifies the noun salvation. Salvation is the subject of the sentence. Thus, it is salvation that is a gift of God and not faith. The sovereign God of the universe has established faith as the condition for salvation. Therefore, faith cannot be a work because God will not accept our works as a basis for salvation. We agree that the doctrine of election, folks, is a scriptural doctrine. The doctrine of unconditional election is not a scriptural doctrine. The word unconditional is an addition. We disagree with the addition of the term unconditional, especially as it is applied by the Calvinists to the doctrine of salvation. The basic meaning of election is to choose or to be chosen. God speaks of the choosing and being chosen 123 times in our King James Bibles. 30 of those occurrences appear in the New Testament. 93 of those appear in the Old Testament. In none of these scriptures is it indicated that God predestinated particular individuals to salvation and particular individuals to damnation. Predestination is never, I repeat, predestination is never to salvation. Predestination is never mentioned in relation to a lost man or woman. Let me say that one again for you. Predestination is never mentioned in relation to a lost man or woman. Predestination is never to damnation. In the Bible, predestination is only used of saved people. We agree that the doctrine of the grace of God and salvation is a scriptural doctrine. What we're talking about now, folks, is irresistible grace. Irresistible grace is not a scriptural doctrine. The addition of the term irresistible turns the grace of God into imposition. For grace to be grace, it must be freely given and freely received. Grace and salvation is the gift of God to all men. For a gift to be a gift of God, it must be given and received. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I repeat, all men. Grace in no way implies the imposition of the will of one upon the will of another. When speaking of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, the clear message of God the Holy Ghost is that the grace of God can be resisted or bestowed in vain. Go and read it, folks. If you are a preacher, pastor, or teacher, how many times have you seen the evidence of an individual under conviction resist the call to come to salvation? I've seen it many times, folks. You can see it all over their face. You can see the conviction all over their face, and yet they resist the saving grace of God. One of the clearest cases of resisting God the Holy Ghost occurred in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching to the Jews. Now, folks, we believe in the doctrine of eternal security. We're going to talk a little bit about the Calvinistic doctrine now of perseverance of the saints. We believe, again, in the doctrine of eternal security. Many Baptists will say that they believe in the perseverance of the saints because they confuse it with the scriptural doctrine of everlasting life, or what we call eternal security. A scriptural study of the Calvinistic doctrine of perseverance of the saints will prove it to be a very clever presentation of a works-based salvation. It lines up very well with the Arminian doctrine of conditional security. And hearing the Calvinists themselves explain it, perseverance of the saints sounds much like the doctrine of the crowd that says that you can lose your salvation. Perseverance of the saints is not the scriptural doctrine of eternal security. Now, John Calvin, folks, has been given much too much credit for the doctrines of Calvinism. It would be more properly described as Augustinianism, coming out of the Roman Catholic Church. Calvinism is a synthesis of Augustinianism, Platonism, Gnosticism, and Bible truth. A little heresy is added here, and a little heresy is added there. And the first thing you know, the whole biblical doctrine of salvation is leavened with philosophy, Gnosticism, false doctrine, and other lies of the devil. The doctrine of Calvinism kills many of the so-called Reformed churches. One of the problems with Calvinism is well presented by the question, how can you know or be sure that you are one of the elect? Calvinism presents seven major dangers to the church, folks. And I'm going to quote some things from a document called The Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine, Book 3, by Pastor Robert Sargent. He identifies seven dangers of Calvinism. Number one, Calvinism destroys missionary and soul-winning endeavor. You can see how that can happen, folks. If after all, people are predestined to salvation, why even go out and evangelize? God will bring them regardless of what you do. Number two, Calvinism rests the scriptures. And my folks, how it does. If you go and study the doctrines of Calvinism as taught by the Calvinists themselves, you will see what I mean. Number three, Calvinism leads to extremes and other heresy. Number four, Calvinism is a doctrine that promotes spiritual pride. And folks, my, how I have seen that in some Calvinistic Baptist. That pride that comes from that. Wow, I'm one of the elect, and you aren't. Number five, Calvinism slights the character of God. Number six, Calvinism makes God to be the author of sin. And folks, you go and you read the works of some of these, they like to call them hyper-Calvinists, and you go and read those works like the ones by Arthur W. Pink on the sovereignty of God. They point blank state that he is the author of sin. Folks, that is wicked. That's evil, because God is not the author of sin. Number seven, Calvinism undermines human responsibility. Folks, if as a Calvinist maintains that I do not have a free will, then I cannot be held responsible for my actions. If we speak from a purely judicial point of view, from a justice point of view, if I have no free will, then how can you hold me responsible for my actions? Much of this doctrine cannot be explained without an in-depth study of the theology behind it. And folks, that's one of the reasons I recommend both of those books by Brother Dave Hunt and also by Brother Lawrence Vance. They are absolutely the two best works that I have ever read on Calvinism. As I was saying, we cannot really understand it and explain it without doing a thorough study on it. The problem with much of our theology and theologians down through the ages is that much of the theology and many of the theologians have tried to reason the scriptures out according to man's understanding, man's reason, and man's logic. Much of man's theology is not enlightened by the Holy Ghost, but is rather conceived in the darkness of the natural man's mind. Calvinism is an elitist gospel that appeals to intellectuals and human pride and human reason. Here's what God has to say about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Much of the doctrine of Calvinism has not come from the mind of Christ. Every foul word that flies from the mouth of the Calvinist God ends up roosting in the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge has Gnostics roosting in it. If you stand around the tree of knowledge long enough, you will be fed some of the poisonous fruit from the pens of St. Augustine, Martin Luther, and John Calvin. All three of these men were arch persecutors of Bible-believing Christians and Jews. You don't believe it, folks. Go and read the background on all three of those individuals, and you'll find out how great of persecutors they were. These men and their churches either advocated and or participated in the torture, maiming, and murder of Bible-believing Christians and their offspring, including infants and unborn babies. You would not believe some of the atrocities that were perpetrated upon Bible-believing Christians by these particular groups of people. You go and read the history. If you know anything about church history, you'll know a lot about what went on. I would reference you to the treatment of Michael Servetus by John Calvin, if you want just one example of it. Knowing that all the background of these particular individuals, can I trust their theology? I say absolutely not to that. Yet, we have so-called Bible-believing Baptist preachers and teachers that appeal to these three heretics to support their elitist, satanic, and Gnostic Calvinistic theology. Calvinism is a doctrine of devils and a damnable heresy. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Colossians 2:8 says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." I can tell you this, folks, this particular study that we have just completed barely even scratches the surface of the heresy of Calvinism. For an in-depth study of the multiple heresies of Calvinism, we again highly recommend the books What Love Is This by Dave Hunt and The Other Side of Calvinism by Lawrence Vance. I would like to thank you again for joining us today.